Now that it's officially winter, you might feel like hibernating until the warm weather is here again. But if you like to enjoy the outdoors and be active, there's no reason you can't get outside in the wintertime. Well, we want to hear from you on this topic. What do you enjoy about the outdoors in the Wisconsin winter? What's your favorite winter sport and why? Why do you love it? What sports make you love winter? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. Tom Held is with us to share some ideas if you want to get outside at this time of year. He's a freelance writer and blogger for the Active Pursuit and Silent Sports magazine. Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So it's hard to get outside when the weather isn't warm and welcoming. And right now in southern Wisconsin, we've got a bit of a heat wave, but that's about to turn around. What is the appeal of getting outside when it's really cold?
Well, a couple of things. For athletes, you certainly get a great workout. You're burning a lot of calories. Snowshoeing, you're burning about 600 calories an hour. Cross-country skiing, you can get up to about 1,000 calories per hour. So for one thing, it's a great way to counter what we've been doing over the holidays, and that's eating a lot of high-sugar foods, which tend to, boost a few pounds this time of year. And then it's getting out into the natural environment at a fantastic time of year. You know, the snow in the woods is gorgeous, the quiet in winter with the sound muffled by the snow. Animal tracks, the different light that you see in the sky with the sun at a low angle, it just gives you an opportunity to explore areas that you may enjoy in summer, but with a whole different viewpoint, sensory stimulation in a lot of different ways.
Now, going back to what you said about the calorie burning, that's an awful lot of calories for an hour of cross-country skiing. Is that because it's colder, so your body has to work harder to warm itself, or is it just the nature of the exercise?
A little bit of both. Primarily the nature of the exercise. Cross-country skiing works your entire body. You're propelling yourself with your upper body and your lower body. And that 1,000 calories is on, more of a competitive number, but you're easily in the 400 to 600 range just if you're going out for a recreational ski.
Wow. Well, that's pretty good. So you don't have to be a Birkebeiner, but you do have to be kind of pushing it a little.
Yeah, exactly. And cross-country skiing is a sport that really has is very accessible. The old adage is that if you can walk, you can go cross-country skiing, and I think it's pretty much true. You know, just find a nice flat area and some snow and give it a try.
Sometimes the cost of gear can be expensive if you just want to try it out for once and see if you like it. How does cross-country skiing do as far as the cost?
The price points on that are a lot better than downhill skiing. And you can rent skis for anywhere from $25 to $40 for an afternoon. There's some places in Milwaukee like the Urban Ecology Center where you could take them for up to a week. And a family membership is all that you need for that, and that's a real inexpensive option as well. And then to buy equipment, you're looking at probably anywhere, in the $200 price range for a package of boots, bindings, poles, and skis. Snowshoes would be a good option for that, too, because the price point's a little bit less, $100 for a good recreational pair, and you can also find places that rent them. Some of the ski shops in various places across the state have those, and REI and the Recreational Equipment International, and also, again, the Urban Ecology Center in Milwaukee has options for that.
When are kids able to start trying their hand at some of these things so you could do sort of a family outing, cross-country skiing or snowshoeing?
Yeah, well, I have twin daughters, and we were pulling them. Our jogger also converted to had a ski attachment. So I've been pulling them since they were about 6 months old. Put them on skis last year, and I think they just kind of looked at me and asked where the cookies were. but we're hoping this year. I think our approach is going to be just put the equipment on them and let them do with it what they want to, a slow approach.
And in terms of a different kind of skiing, downhill skiing, how does that differ from cross-country skiing?
Well, downhill skiing, you let someone else do all the heavy lifting, that meaning you up the hill. And cross-country skiing, you're propelling yourself. So any hill that you encounter, it's your job to get up that. That's part of the appeal to me, though. I mean, that downhill run through the trees is something that I've earned, not something that I've just paid for. And that said, I love downhill skiing as well. But there's just such a peacefulness of cross-country skiing that really struck me. I was a downhiller and mocked cross-country skiers for a long time. And then when I got into it, I really found the error of my thinking on that. It's just a beautiful way to get out into the woods.
Last time I was out on cross-country skis, I saw people on, I think what they're called, skate skis, which is those people really cruise quickly.
Yeah,
in that.
They're flying. They
Nothing
are
to
flying.
Sniff at there. Tell us about skate skis.
Well, skate skiing is a little bit different motion. The skate name is very applicable because you're pushing off in as you would on roller skates. And so that's a much faster way to propel yourself. It is a little bit more challenging at the beginning of the learning curve for skate skiing. The technique is a little bit more difficult to get early on. But once you get going, that can be a blast, too. You feel like you're just flying through the woods. So that has really been a boon for cross-country skiing because in the late 80s or mid 80s, once that took off, that really drew a lot more people into the sport.
In terms of the price tag on downhill and skate skiing, how does that compare to cross-country skiing?
Well, skate skis are probably at the same price point as your traditional diagonal stride cross-country skis. And those can range upwards to about $500 to $600 for a high-end race ski. Or again, you can get yourself set up for a beginner package in the low $200 range, maybe even something under $200. Downhill ski equipment, I haven't priced it in quite some time, but I remember downhill skis being in the $400 and $500 range just for the ski alone. And then, the lift ticket is also something to keep in mind. If you're going to take a family of four to a downhill ski area, that could be a fairly pricey endeavor. Most cross-country ski areas, all you need is a state trail pass, and I think that is now $20 for the annual pass, but I'd have to check that number.
We're talking with outdoor writer Tom Held about ways we can get outside and enjoy the winter with some cold weather sports. We're taking your calls. What is your favorite winter sport and why? Have you gotten a chance to do it yet, or has the weather been just a little too warm in the southern part of the state at least? And what are conditions like up in the northern part? What are you doing there that you love to stay active when it's cold out? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our discussion now with outdoor expert Tom Held about winter sports. And we're taking your calls. What is your favorite winter sport, and why do you love it? What have you been doing so far this winter? Have you got the snow to do it? And if not, what are you just dying to start doing once you get the colder temperatures and maybe some snowfall? What do you do to stay active during the winter months? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. 1234, or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we'll take our first caller now. We've got Jeff on the line from Madison. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, good afternoon. We actually went cross-country skiing up in Ironwood, Michigan, up in the Upper Peninsula at Adar. It's just a fantastic place for cross-country. It had fantastic snow. They do such a good job of grooming up there, but when we were driving up, you had to go a long ways before you got some reliable snow on the ground.
Well, how much snow thereabouts do they have in the UP?
They've had a couple of feet, but the temperatures have still been warm, so it was slushy at times. The temps had started to fall, but they've done such a good job of grooming that even though there were basically puddles alongside the trails in places, which actually looked gorgeous and the trees were covered in snow, the tracks and the trails were still almost perfect.
Well, that sounds lovely. Well, thank you, Jeff, for calling, and I'm glad you got some good skiing in. You have a great day, too. And Tom, Jeff mentioning the UP is a fabulous place to go skiing. Where would you recommend?
I really like that suggestion, ABR, up in the Upper Peninsula near Ironwood, Bessemer. I would, if he's still there, I'd ask him to check out a place called Ski Milges. I think it's M-I-L-J-E-S. It's an old family farm, and one of the sons of the owners built up just a short cross-country ski area, probably about 5 to 7 kilometers, I think. But it is really a tight, just beautiful little spot. And that's one of those where they just have a donation box out front and a beautiful little warming shelter with a fireplace. That was one of the rare gems that I found. I don't even remember how I had heard about it or if I just saw a little sign one day and decided to check it out. And the state has a lot of those. But to your question about right now, the best skiing in the, you know, for the Wisconsinites and in the Midwest is up in the UP, but also up in the Cable and Hayward area. The Birkebeiner ski trail has been pretty solid all winter long, and winter starting back in Thanksgiving for them. And then also up in the Minocqua area, Minocqua Winter Park has been pretty good throughout the short winter season. I did some skiing yesterday, or Christmas Day, right on the Oak Leaf Trail in Milwaukee. Unfortunately, I was on my roller skis. I was getting some training in for once the snow hits, I'll be ready.
Okay, gotcha. Well, those are some good suggestions. We'll go next now to Steve in Danbury. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Veronica. You asked what it was like here in northern Wisconsin.
Yeah.
We're in the far northwest. And we actually got 14 inches of snow on November 11th and had just wonderful skiing before Thanksgiving Day, which has never happened before. And we thought we were set for winter. we skied the Berkey and the Vasalopet, so we were really happy to have the early snow for training. And we actually groom a 3-kilometer trail at our house.
Oh,
and,
fabulous.
We had wonderful skate skiing conditions, and sad to say, as of yesterday, we had no snow left on the ground after
wow.
a couple of weeks of mid-30s temperatures and some rain thrown in, too. Last night, we got an inch of snow, so at least this morning we woke up, and things were looking a little bit encouraging again, but basically we're back to, we're back to roller skating. Again here too.
Right, so interesting. Well, thanks a lot for sharing that, Steve. Seems like we flipped around the snowfall thing. Instead of the snow coming before the holidays like Christmas and Hanukkah, they're coming came before Thanksgiving, but now it's all gone. So we'll have to see where the weather takes us next. And we're going to go right to another caller. We've got Kurt joining us in Oregon. Hi, Kurt.
Hi. So I've been ice biking the last couple of years, which I really enjoy. And I've seen a little bit or heard about some people who are riding bikes, like the fat tire bikes on snowmobile trails, and I don't know much about it, but I was curious if you're hosted.
Great. Well, thank you, Kurt. And Tom, what do you think? Fat tire biking, how do you do that?
Fat tire biking, it's basically you have a mountain bike, a larger frame to accommodate a much wider wheel. So mountain bike has about a 2-inch wheel on it. That's the width. Fat bike has about 4 inches, and it's really taken off in the last, I would say, 5 years, and just for the reason that the caller mentioned, snowmobile trails work well for that, although that has some user conflicts because if snowmobiles are whipping down the trail at 40 miles an hour, it could be problematic. But there's a couple series of races that have started up. And the mountain bike trails in the Southern Kettle Moraine State Forest, that would be just a little bit east of Whitewater, are open for fat bikes. And then there's a winter series in Wisconsin. So that is really picking up, and even the Birkebeiner is having a big, what they call is the World Fat Bike Championships on the Birkebeiner Trail. As long as it is packed down, and that's why snowmobile trails work well. The fat bikes work great, and people just love them. It's a way that you can extend your biking season year-round. If that's your real passion, you just want to ride your bike every day, well, you can get a fat bike and you can get out on the snow and have a really tremendous experience.
Now, I know how to ride a bike, but does that mean I can automatically do this ice biking, fat tire biking thing, or is there a whole different skill set?
Do you feel very, very embarrassed if you fall over?
Well, I've fallen over before. I don't know. Okay. It's not my favorite thing in the world, but...
Well, but falling over into a snowbank is a lot different than piling up on the asphalt. So I think that's some of the appeal of fat biking. It depends on the conditions. If you have a good, solid snowpack and it's been knocked down pretty good and other people have ridden on it, then, yeah, you can pick it up. One other great area where people have been taking fat bikes on Lake Michigan shoreline, that sand, especially in winter, becomes hard-packed, and where, you know, you wouldn't take a road bike with those skinny tires on there, but you can certainly get out there with a fat bike, and you will see things that you never thought you would see in terms of experiencing the Lake Michigan shore. We were out a couple of years ago in January on fat bikes, and it was a blast. So that's a pretty new phenomenon, but something that's really extending or opening up new opportunities for bicyclists.
And Tom, in our last minute here, you wanted to mention the International Paralympic Nordic Skiing World Championships that are coming to Wisconsin next month. What are you excited about on that one?
Well, I think that that's bringing 200 just remarkable athletes to the Cable and Hayward area. That's going to be at what was the Telemark Resort. Those trails are going to be hosting these phenomenal athletes. You've got a couple of people that are really impressive, some soldiers who were wounded in Afghanistan that lost their legs, and they're competing in cross-country ski races on what's called sit skis. So they're propelling themselves only with their upper bodies. You've got athletes that are cross-country skiing with one arm. You have athletes with some severe vision limitations. So I think one of the comments, you know, these are people that could have given up, you know, at various points along their struggles, but instead of doing that, they're out there and they're setting an example for all of us.
Well, Tom, thanks a lot for joining us and telling us about all these winter sports.
All right, my pleasure.
That was Tom Held, freelance writer and blogger for the Active Pursuit and Silent Sports magazine. He was with us to share some winter sports. I'm Veronica Rickert. This is Central Time.